from Burgundy Babe. I wonder what Burgundy Babe looks like. You guys have lost your mind, but I love it. From Dan, comma, all of a sudden Sheehan is the pom-pom waving fan. Good to have you back after 20 years. I don't know if it's been 20 years. That's about the length of time in of which I've been doing this. But yeah, it's been a while. Hell, I had him last year. I picked him to go 10-7 and make the postseason. That was the first time I had him above 500 in many, many years. But yeah, Max and yours truly in our NFC predictions have Washington going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. All right. Joining us right now is my friend Michael Phillips, who has covered this team for a long time and talks about this team on 910 The Fan down in Richmond, at Michael P in RVA on X and on Twitter. I mean, how many conversations have we had over the years before seasons started where it's just like, you just had to reach for something to get them to 8-8 or 8-8-1 in recent years, you know, at 17 games. But legitimate highest expectation season, Michael, I've mentioned this week, in 25 years since the year 2000. What do you think? I mean, and where are you on expectations?
I agree with that statement. I remember chatting last year, and you were a little ahead of the curve last year. You called 10. I said, I don't know about that. So I defer to your expertise here. You have earned this credibility and the ability to pick them. I think there are, you know, recent history. We're obviously talking about the RG3 2013 season, where a Washington Post columnist famously picked them to win 13. They didn't, by the way. I think you're talking about a season where we're going to learn, here I'll wave my pom-poms, we're going to learn that Jaden Daniels is for real. He is putting in the work. He is the difference maker. Who, they're not going to make the Super Bowl every year. They're not going to be wildly successful every year. But every time number five steps on the field, they'll have a chance to win that football game. And that's a really, really special thing. And I think you talk about expectations. I'm still in enjoyment, too, Kevin. I'm enjoying that these veterans, you think about like all the veterans who came by to get one more check from Dan Snyder. Yeah. Veteran players like Von Miller think this is the best place to be to mentor young players, to maybe win one more ring. What an incredible thing that is.
There's a quote from Ben's GM survey that he's done now several years in a row. Washington is the most stable organization from top to bottom in the league. I mean, that is the most incredible statement from an agent in the league handling players about this organization, because it's not like we're 5 years removed from that. We're 2 years removed from them being the bottom feeder in the league, and look at how much has changed in 2 years. I wonder how agents and everybody would feel about Washington had the ownership ownership situation changed, but let's just say they didn't get number two overall. They actually beat the Jets, remember, on Christmas Eve, and they ended up not being able to get, you know, the quarterback that they wanted in the draft. I wonder what the impression of the team would be, because it's so much about Jaden Daniels.
It's so much about Jaden Daniels. I do think the impression would be team on the rise. Josh Harris is doing the right things. He's turned this over to a competent professional football evaluator. He's building something, and in a few years, we're going to see those seeds bloom and come to fruition in Washington, where they've got a really big rebuilding job in front of them, I think would be the storyline. Instead, Atlanta game last year. One, you need a little luck. Raheem Morris forgets how to call timeouts, cracks the door open. Two, Jaden says, everybody jump on my back. We're going to win this thing. And when he does that, they win that thing. And that's the special thing, right? That's the part that's just really, really enjoyable and is making this so much fun for everybody.
Yeah, that Atlanta game, that overtime was just heroic. I mean, you know, he strapped them to his back multiple times last year. I don't know if he did it any more obvious of a light than in that, you know, drive in overtime to clinch the playoff berth. All right, I do want your prediction on the season, but we'll hold off on that. Tell me what you're very confident in, and then tell me what you're very concerned about.
Yeah, I feel very confident about their moves offensively. I think they did the right thing. The timeline changed last year when they saw what they had in number five. They gave away a lot of draft picks, but they used it to get a left tackle for now, to get a left tackle for the future, and to get a weapon in Deebo Samuel who's going to make this offense really dynamic this year. I feel very confident in Cliff Kingsbury and in Jaden in year two to take advantage of all those weapons. I think we're going to see some fun things. I think it's going to be a fun watch this year. I think they made all the right moves, not just to communicate that this year is a year where they can win, which I think it communicates when you trade for Laremy Tunsil, but also to communicate to Jaden when it's time for a big check in a few years. We are looking out for you. We are looking out for your best interests in how we manage every offseason. And, you know, extending Terry is part of that as well. They communicated to him, don't worry, we got this. And then they backed it up by having it. So I love that. I love where the offense is right now. My big fear is it's still an explosive plays league. This secondary looks really good right now running out of the tunnel. Marshawn Lattimore, you got Amos, and you got Sandra still. That's three guys who are really good at what they do. And on paper, it's good. It really breaks down very quickly after that. And I worry about getting exposed and the depth over the rigors of a season, because this is a team that didn't think they'd be in that spot right now. And it's really hard in the NFL. You think about college and the transfer portal, go buy a new team every year. Free agency doesn't afford you that opportunity. They have the money. They just didn't see the guys to spend it on, because the NFL has so many mechanisms to lock up players and not let them get to free agency. You really do have to cycle through a few drafts before you can build that Eagles-style depth that you're ultimately going to need to compete year in and year out.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm on the same page with you. I think really what's going to be striking here early in the season, or what really it will be something to pay attention to, and hopefully we see the progress, is can they stop the run? Because that's going to be the way they lose games. If they can't stop the run, then Jaden's not on the field enough. The offense isn't on the field enough. And they play, you know, this stretch, Michael, of teams that are going to try to run the football. You know, they get Josh Jacobs on next Thursday night, a week from tonight. They get Ashton Jeanty. They get Bijan Robinson. They get, you know, some really good backs this year. They'll face Gibbs. They'll face Saquon Barkley twice. If they can't stop the run, we're going to be in a lot of, you know, games that come down to the wire again. you don't want every week to be that way. Give me your overall impressions. We are a week removed from finding out the details of the deal. We're a week and a half, basically, removed from the news that Terry and the team had reached a deal. What's your takeaway on the whole thing? I didn't get a chance to have you on during that. Just give me your overall impressions of the summer and then how it ultimately got resolved.
I wish they had taken care of him better and earlier. I understand why they didn't. And this is part of the inevitable tension of a new group coming in. We've lived it. We've lived the last 25 years. And you and I look at this and say, Terry, is it really important to have in burgundy and gold for a lot of reasons? You're trying to win the fan base back. You're trying to, you know, make a team that the community can be proud of. Nobody does that better than Terry McLaurin. He's a guy who needs to be taken care of. You also have a new general manager coming in who says, I'm setting a tone. I don't care what happened here before me. And in fact, I'm throwing it out the window because y'all didn't win a lot of football games. I'm here to fix things. No credit given for what happened during that stretch. I think everybody's pleased with the outcome that Terry's back. I think Terry needs to be on this team. I wish they had taken care of him better. I understand why they didn't. And I give the blank check of trust here to Adam Peters that it's not what I would have done, but he's here to be a competent football handling professional. He handled it. He got a great deal for the team. He's got Terry happy. He's got everybody pulling the same direction for right now. And it's hard to object now that we're at the finish line to the outcome from a 2025 Commanders fan perspective.
All right. We are talking to Michael Phillips. I'll ask you a question that we asked callers yesterday. Did they close the gap on Philadelphia between the moment that they left the field at the Link in late January until now as we get ready to start week one?
They closed the gap 1-22, the starters who run out of the tunnel. They are better. Philly has some wear and tear, some tread on the tires. I think Saquon takes a step back this year. You look at historically running backs with that kind of workload, they take a step back the next year. I think 1-53, Philly's so good at drafting, so good at signing. I think their depth is still the envy of the league. I think they are the Super Bowl favorites until proven otherwise, because you look at that NFC title game, they were on their third center. And you would have never known from watching that game tape. And that's a credit to Howie Roseman. That's a credit to his drafting. I hate to give him that credit, but you have to acknowledge how good he's been at building that depth, building that roster, making draft picks hit. I think these guys are competing better 1-22. I think the gap is still very real and remains once you get 23-53.
Is Jaden the best quarterback in the NFC?
Your big four are all AFC quarterbacks, right? And that's indisputable. I think the consensus national number five is Matthew Stafford. And I think circumstantially, he's not right now. You know, whatever Sean McVay says, whatever they're talking about down there, he ain't right. If he shows up in his vintage Matthew Stafford, the Rams can win the Super Bowl behind him. I don't want to sell Jalen Hurts short, but I think if you offered Roseman a straight-up trade right now, just for this season, I think he'd do it. I think he'd rather have number five than his guy. I think he's special. I think the way he carries the team. You think about it, there's just so many, Kevin, there's so many good quarterbacks who are really good, worth the money, and don't have that gear. And I'm thinking about the Trevor Lawrences. I'm thinking about, I think Justin Herbert is in a real prove-it year in Los Angeles. He's unquestionably very good. Can he do that with 2 minutes left, third down four? Can he say, everybody jump on my back, we're winning today? And Jalen didn't get asked to do that a lot in Philly, so it's unfair to say he can't do that, but I can definitively say that this guy here can do that.
How do you think Cliff Kingsbury will handle the running backs?
I am very curious to see who's up and who's down. I think in week one, there's a good chance Bill is inactive.
That's interesting. I posed that to Ben the other day, just because it's hard to imagine four backs active, and Eckler and McNichols, will be up.
You have to have Eckler and McNichols. I think with Rodriguez, there's a goal line trust there, a tough yardage trust where, fumbles are the worst thing you can possibly do in that situation. I think he's earned the coaching staff's trust in those situations. I think Bill's time will come. And by the way, it may come really fast, short week Thursday night. What's better than sending in a guy who hasn't played an NFL game on fresh legs on a short week going to Lambeau? I think that could be a fun twist. But you talk about week one, and not that you play it safe, but you should win, and in a lot of ways you need to win to set the tone for the season. You go with proven production, and I think they trust Chris Rodriguez right now to get those tough yards.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing, because all of the talk about Kroski Merritt, and it's possible that he could be inactive for the opener. It's also possible that Rodriguez could be inactive.
Yeah.
But I think it's 50-50 that one of them won't be up. It's just hard, you end up taking away from other areas of the team that are vital to have a fourth running back, which typically you don't necessarily need. Give me a player on the team, as we talk to Michael Phillips from Richmond. Give me a player on the team that you've been talking about that you have a hunch is going to break out, is going to overperform, is going to surprise most people as a contributor.
You are welcome to disqualify this answer, Kevin. It's Von Miller for me. I think people are expecting this, kind of what we expected out of Austin Ekeler last year, veteran guy, going to give you some big snaps. Everybody talks about, like, oh, he's going to be really good late in games. You can put him in when you need a closer, like Mariano Rivera, like running out, you know, like, all right, I'm here, let's do this thing. It was so fun to watch him at training camp because training camp stinks. You don't have to talk to anybody in the league. Nobody likes training camp. The best thing that happened to Terry this year was that he didn't have to do training camp. And you know, I think of the guys who back in the Richmond days were, oh, my ankle's acting up, I can't practice today. Right. Like, training camp's a grind. This dude attacked every drill, every practice with a ferocity that you would have thought he was fighting for a roster spot. And you just sensed, like, when it was time to go to camp, he didn't begrudgingly get off the couch and kiss the wife and kids goodbye. He jumped out and said, I'm going to go play professional football. I love what I do. The excitement he attacked, even just footwork drills with, that you know he's done over and over for 15 years. He looked like, man, I got something to prove here, and I'm going to prove it. I left really excited by that energy from Von Miller.
I'm not going to disqualify that answer. I think that the thing with Miller, if you're going to, you know, put him into that answer, it's that he's going to end up with double-digit sacks.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And he's going to replace, you know, he's going to replace Fowler Jr.'s 10.5 sacks or more.
Yeah, I think he ends the season as the defensive MVP of this team, unless Sanders still has some kind of unworldly year, which I think he's capable of in year two as well.
All right. Your final record prediction for the team this year is what?
I can't get over the difficulty of schedule. I know that's a fool's errand right now, but AFC West is a legit division. It just is every year. We don't know who will win it, but they're good. NFC North, that's a very good division. And that's a division-wide problem. I don't think the winner of the NFC East will get the bye this year in the playoffs because of that grind of those eight games that get added to the schedule.
Right.
I think they're 10-7. I think they make the playoffs. I think they're better than they were last year. I think the record slides a bit due to those factors outside of their control.
Okay, so what happens when they get to the postseason?
Do you want to join us? Let me, in Santa Clara? Let me dip my toe in the pool. They are capable of it. If you get to the dance, if you got a card, you can do it in the NFC. If there's seven playoff teams in the NFC, their chances are not worse than any other NFC teams playing in Santa Clara, and we're singing the song at the end of the year.
From Neil in Rockville, Kevin, you've turned into Larry Michael. Not true. Stop.
Well,
Larry had us basically in this Super Bowl every year when our over-under win total was 4.5.
I think the Commander tangibles are really going to break the leg, Kevin.
Yes. Well, you know, I said something a few weeks ago. It's like, if they just get in, we already know that with him, they can win on the road in the postseason. They won two road games last year. And played Philadelphia, in terms of the way they move the football offensively, much better than Kansas City did in the Super Bowl. All right, what happens in the opener on Sunday?
Yeah, before you don't sleep on, and I'll put on my Homer hat for a second. When there was the fumble in the fourth quarter at the 50-yard line in that Philly game, they were very much in that game.
I've talked about it. It was the end of the third quarter, 34-23. Yep. They're going to make it, you know, a potential three-point game, worst case five, and that was the Ekeler fumble.
No question. That was it's a much closer game than people give it credit for. They win Sunday. I'm nervous about this D-line. I'm nervous about Russ throwing it deep. I think the Giants are good. I think Russ, you look at his first four games, Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs, and then the Chargers. On paper, it looks like an 0-4 start in Jackson Dart for the Giants. Russ knows that. Russ understands that. I think it will be a competitive football game. I think it will come down to the end. But I like these guys.
Always love catching up with you. Hope you're well. Thanks for doing this.
It is a pleasure, and I'm sure we will talk again soon.
Michael Phillips, everybody. When we come back, Dan Duggan covers the Giants for The Athletic. He'll be our guest.